We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to be back. Back in almost winter? I don't even know. I don't know what's going on outside.
Having spent the past 3 hours outside, it's like 30 something degrees. It's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a freeze warning tonight and it was, 80 Saturday, Sunday, something like that. Yesterday. Anyway, welcome. Good to see you, man. Did you happen to know what episode this is of our little podcast here?
Dude, it is episode 200.
200. And boy, do we have something special planned for you guys. And by special, it's just going to be like all the other ones, but we're really excited about it.
There's a lot of preparation that went into this episode. Our notes.
We went back through. Yeah. We picked out all of our best clips, which we could probably air in a 30 second time slot maybe. So it wouldn't take up a lot of podcast.
I would just direct you to the best clips are the previous 199 episodes. Although I would say they probably got better. So if you want to work, start the front, it's a steady climb up. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards.
We're professionals now.
Yeah, that's what we do. This is what we do. Did you know, Michael, Homefield launched a fantastic brand of Texas Tech clothing?
Yes, I did. So comfy.
So great. And did you guys know that if you use our promo code 23personnel at checkout, you get 15% off your first order? What are you waiting for? Homefield, Texas Tech. This guy's really great stuff. All of the Texas Tech stuff is really great. Even there's one logo I'm not super high on, but the shirt is so comfortable. So.
Yep. That. Yeah, I'm with you. And just to throw a little bit more fuel to the Oklahoma State copies us fire, Texas Tech was there first. And then I think it was within a month, Oklahoma State was on home field. We were there first once again.
You got to do better, Cowboys.
With all the pistols firing and guns ups and whatnots.
Yeah. You know who's not first, though, Michael?
Who's that?
The 23 Personnel's Twitter account at Breaking News.
Oh.
But if you want to follow us for non-breaking news, for commentary, for podcast updates, for all kinds of Texas Tech stuff, that's just not breaking news. Because guess what? Michael and I have full-time jobs. That keeps us off Twitter 24/7. Imagine that.
You breaking can follow- news. That's breaking.
Maybe breaking we could- news. Did yeah. you know that the baseball team had a game postponed? Breaking news. Of course
I
did.
I was at Tulia. I had to turn around. I was on my way.
That's too bad. You can follow the show at 23personnel, at punts suck for Spencer, or at Michael_LBK for that man over there. You can also hit us up on Instagram, 23personnel podcast. Michael, we've got basketball to talk about. A lot of roster updates the past couple of days, couple of weeks. Not a couple of weeks, but yeah, well, sure, a couple of weeks, but updates from our last recording. Additions, subtractions, new coaches hired, rumors of coaches, new rumors of coaches being hired. Got a baseball series to review polls, updated injury news, not so great.
Yeah.
Preview for this upcoming series this weekend against Baylor. Okay, so I was going through the stats for the comparison. At least on defense and pitching, awfully similar to you.
Very much. Very close.
Yep. And then, of course, we'll have to talk about the football spring game because your boy was there.
Yeah. And speaking
cold,
of injuries,
cold that day,
yes, too. We will have to talk about the spring game.
Yeah. I just realized that I put the wrong player's name down there. It's good.
I thought maybe it was his brother. I don't know.
That's what we do.
It's going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And before we get going on that, I have to remind you, we will be joining Locker Room. We will be doing some live shows over there. And if you're not familiar with it, it is the live audio only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use for you guys as listeners. You can talk to us, other fans, in real time. Perfect for watch parties, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Locker Room, like I said, it's a free audio-only social media platform for us, the sports fans. We will get going on that in the fall. We'll definitely tell you when we go live, when we're planning to go live. Join us over on Locker Room.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun thing. They will be working on the, what is it, Google Play, the Android side of things. But now it's available, of course, on desktop or anything, and then as well as your Apple device.
Which, you know, I do have an Apple device. So if in the fall that's not, you know, available on Google, we'll still be there. Because I do have a secondary phone that's Apple. So.
Oh, and
we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. This reminds me, let me get through this ad read before I tell you this other thing I was going to tell you. Okay, because I don't know if they would want this in their ad read. Bet online, guys. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Bet online has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. I can't believe playoffs start this month. That's crazy. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
You said the tournament playoffs start here pretty soon. Close. Well, this month. Within the month, sure. That 7-8 play-in stuff happens May 18th to the 21st. So within the month NBA? Of today. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I haven't looked into that.
Yeah, I think they're carrying over that 7-8 play-in scenario.
How did I not know this at all? Okay, that's cool. I didn't know that. And I guess it makes sense because they started the season late that they wouldn't resume playoffs exactly. Ah, man, I'm just used to playoffs starting in April. And I just, since I can't watch my Spurs because I don't get Bally Sports through Hulu, I.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I have no idea what's going on in the NBA.
Can I tell you, I have no idea what's going on with Fox Sports and Bally Sports, what all that mess that went down. It's still live on Suddenlink, so I'm able to watch it. I've watched a considerable number of Mavs games lately. I watched that that Luka Doncic step through three-pointer to win the game. I watched that live the other night. I was like, what was that? It was nuts.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. I get all these... you know, these national games that I'm really supposed to care about, but I've watched one Spurs game all year because it was on TNT. I'm not bitter. I'm not mad.
No, not at all. Speaking of basketball, Michael, let's talk some Red Raider hoops.
Here comes Stevenson. Spins. Shot clock is at three. Mooney spins, fires. Oh, he got it to go. Edwards with a three. Good. What a shot, Tyler Edwards. Ready, doubled into Tariq Owens, who puts it down. Already. Odiasi. Throw bars it in. Shot clock down to five. Got the screen. Here's a three.
All right, so Texas Tech, Mark Adams, he's going to work, man. Got a new commit in Dallas Baptist guard Chandler Jacobs, committed Monday night. Jacobs coming off a really great year, averaged nearly 21 points, 7.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, and 2.5 steals. And for a player that averaged almost 21 points a game, he was named the Lone Star Conference Defensive Player of the Year and Academic Player of the Year. His offensive stats, Michael, stupid good. 56% from the field, 45% from three. And I heard an interview said, you know, he rolled his ankle pretty badly in January. And then going into their postseason tournament, tweaked it again. And he said it affected his ability to get up on his shots. And he said there at the end, like he went like 2 for 20 from three because of his ankle and like really brought his 3-point shot down. 45%. It was a regression, actually.
Yeah, that's actually downplaying it.
And then 83% from the free throw line.
I was able to watch some of the video. You know, he's 6'3", as you mentioned.
It's so smooth.
Yes. I would say this, I don't know. I don't want to trash McClung. That's not what I'm here to do. But I watched enough of the highlight. Well, there's like a 6-minute highlight video of Chandler Jacobs. And of course, they're all great highlights. So I have no idea how well he plays defense.
Not going to put a missed shot on the highlight.
Yeah. Every shot, there's not a missed shot in the highlight. He's 100% on the reel. And it's about half 3-pointers. Some of them are just really incredible how he can just pick up the ball and shoot as fast as he can. The distance is incredible. And then the other half is probably finishes at the rim, left-handed, right-handed, reverse, just Euro steps. I mean, really impressive stuff. The way I was trying to, just because of recent memory, the closest comparison I have is McClung, because McClung was a driver. McClung was a slasher, but Jacob seems a little more controlled is kind of what I was trying to get at. That could be the competition. I don't want to assume that he's going to just be able to light the world on fire against Big 12 defenses, but I'm not going to be surprised if he's an immediate contributor. And, you know, people are comparing him a little bit to Edwards. I could see that. Edwards was never that. he didn't drive like Jacobs can and probably will. I'm sure that's one of the big reasons they want him, is to have that aggressive offense that gets a shot off quicker than 27 seconds or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I mean, probably because of age and experience, he just looks so polished too, right? Like he's not, I mean, yes, it was a highlight reel. Like he was never,
of course,
he was never out of control. It never looked sloppy.
Yeah. They didn't show him getting charges called on him. You know, we didn't get to see any of that, but he was able to shift around defenders. And I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to draw a lot of charges. Or is that, what do you say? Draw charges, give charge,
be called for a charge. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either, but I was pretty excited. We mentioned him last week. I believe he'd kind of gotten on the radar. And then since last week, he's made it official. And just having a shooter, I mean, even if he's mainly used as a spot shooter, that's going to be great. And then the defensive side of it, I wish I could see that. Maybe I need to go find a Dallas Baptist game that is on YouTube somewhere, and I could just watch him play defense for a game, because apparently he's really good at that.
I was about to say that there's got to be something to him being named the conference defensive player of the year.
Yes.
To back up all the offensive stats that are reported on him.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Like I said, scored 21 points a game, more than 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2.5 steals. The steals is defensive, obviously, but to be named defensive player of the year for the conference on top of all that means, or I would assume, it's pretty talented on the defensive end. The other guy that we mentioned last week, Parker Fox from Northern State, ended up committing to Minnesota. That was another one of the D2 players on the radar. Then Lubbock's own Trinity Christian guard Ethan Duncan committed. A little bit of a smaller guy, 5'11", 160. The little jab that I enjoyed in the write-up is that he chose Texas Tech over Texas. but Duncan, for a private school in the Taps District 1-4A, averaged 27 points a game, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2.5 steals a game. Named that district MVP.
Yeah, it seems like a really impressive kid. And we love to see local guys staying. That's been something that we've kind of hit Matt Wells over the head a little bit with. But, you know, rumor was that Adams was really instrumental in keeping Culver here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that this is probably why Duncan stayed around too. So I'm thinking we're already seeing a little bit of the draw to Adams. I will say, if you haven't seen it, there's a video of Adams talking to the football team.
Yeah.
That came out, and it's pretty good, where he basically is just kind of talking to the guys about how you choose to win. And of course, you know, if you take that for face value, then
why don't we just choose to win 14 games every year?
Well, okay. All right. I get it. But if you watch the video, it's really good. He does a good job, I think, connecting with the players. And I don't know. I keep being impressed by him.
Yeah,
so I'm really looking forward to more Mark Adams.
Another piece of roster news, former Texas Tech guard Jamarius Burton announced his commitment to Pitt. Go be a Panther up there.
Yeah. That was basically just this evening. I think Tuesday evening. Tuesday. That kind of came out. Breaking
news. You heard it here first. Jamarius Burton to Pitt. Because of course we're recording this and you'll hear it 12 hours from now.
Right. And because we can say breaking, because I spoke to him directly and he told me that that's what he was going. No, that's not what happened.
So this next point I'm going to bring up, will be laughed off and just like disregarded by Texas fans, cause they're like, we didn't want them anyways. But I think it's pretty telling that of all the players that were leaving Texas Tech and the transfer portal, none win to Texas. Zero.
We didn't, they didn't want him anyway, Spencer.
Well, right. That's what they would say.
I know.
And they would say, well, that's, you know, he was able to win, you know, in spite of those players, and he doesn't want them anyways. Well, I mean, with a roster as depleted as theirs is, like, you can't be turning players down. And I don't know how many of them would still want to go, but I think that's the point I'm trying to make, is like, players didn't want to go play for him. We heard rumors that, like, I mean, I don't know how much to believe in this, but if Beard were the coach at Texas Tech this year, McCullough would not be at Texas Tech next year. So
I hadn't heard that. That doesn't surprise me too much, just kind of how hush hush he was after the season was over and everything.
The other thing I wanted to add to that, there was a little bit of a snarky email back and forth kind of released through an open records request that Andy Whitry of Out of Bounds got his hands on. And I'll just read part of it if you haven't seen it yet. On the evening of April 1st, J. Michael Lewis, who was elected chairman of the Texas Tech University System Board of Regents, in December 2020 sent an email that included a link to the official University of Texas press release that announced the hiring of Beard. And then Texas Tech University System Chancellor Dr. Ted Mitchell responded to the email the next morning saying, "Chairman, it's been an emotional week for everyone. Chris Beard's callous treatment of Texas Tech University President Dr. Lawrence Skuvenek, Kirby, and Board of Regents member Dusty Womble only confirms the serious misgivings many, including me, have had about his character for quite some time. I believe our family will be better off in the long run for his departure." Wow.
Yes. If y'all want a good read, check that out. Andy Whitry did his homework, had a good write-up. I'm totally going to butcher this, but I think he might have been pretty on top of some of the player mistreatment issues with the women's basketball team or possibly the softball team. I swear he had, I think it was his website that he grabbed some, what do you call it? You said it. Released record information. What's that?
Open records request?
Yeah. I think he was able to obtain some stuff. So I may be completely wrong on that. But anyway, check out his write-up because it's really interesting. And it just reminds you that if you write to any of these officials, your name can be broadcasted in one of these open record requests.
So here's something.
There's a few names that pop up a few times. I'm not going to say them because, one, I can't remember who they are, but just definitely do more of a, you know, like Red Raider 1977 at gmail.com and sign it with, you know, L7 or some, I don't know, just something weird. Don't use your name.
Yeah. And the other thing I heard in response to this is that, like, both of those individuals knew very well what they were doing and that their communication could be requested.
I would imagine Chris Level said, would know, or a chancellor would definitely know that.
Yeah. Chris Level said, conversations that matter happen over the phone.
Yeah.
So when you get written comments like this, like, they know what they're doing. Dr. Ted Mitchell's not an idiot.
No. That was really telling and just kind of backs up some of the rumors we've heard here and there about how I don't think Kirby could have offered him, Kirby, first name. I don't think Hoka could have offered him anything beyond what he already had, which maybe not the best idea for Beard, is to hand him keys to the whole city and then just expect him to be content and stay here forever. I think he needs a fire under his butt, and he found one.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we did offer him, like, he had that the practice facility built for him, basically. He had the rolling lifetime contract. He had the money there, the contract, or in the re-up, and he's like, no, I don't want that. So, whatever, yep. He's gone. Those that are here, Mark Adams, continuing to build out his staff. It was, I guess, confirmed finally that Coach Sean Sutton will stay on as his advisor/player development role to Coach Adams. And then Coach Adams hired his second assistant, Corey Williams from Arkansas. Played actually with Sean Sutton at Oklahoma State. So their introductory cool press connection. Conference was pretty funny. They're talking about how Sutton was saying, you know, he would have had better stats had Williams passed the ball. And Williams basically said the opposite, said, well, I would have, you know, been able to stay in the NBA longer if Sutton had given him, given up the ball a little bit more. But as a coach, Corey Williams is actually more known for defense than offense. So you're seeing a pretty
shocking hire,
pretty defensive minded staff here. And not that Coach Peary isn't defensive minded. Cause I think it's one of the things, like he was, I think, well-rounded in that he ran that up tempo defense, but also really, really fast offense. But you know, Adams is defensive guy. Williams is kind of a defensive guy. And then Williams, more of like his history from Seth over at Stegman Plains, found as a coach, Williams was an assistant at Oral Roberts in Florida State, as well as the head coach at Stetson. He didn't have the best record there. He went 58-133 in six seasons, and then hopped over to Arkansas starting in 2019 through this last season. So he was there for a couple of years. I think one of the things that everybody's pretty excited about, he was considered one of their best recruiters.
Oh, that's great.
So there is one final position, assistant position coach left for Adams to hire. And in that press conference for Corey Williams, Sutton did say that Adams isn't rushing this. He's got plenty of candidates, plenty of resumes on his desk, guys that are reaching out that are qualified that want this job. So he's not in a big rush. And I did hear that, again, it's no big secret, it's on the radio here, that Darby Rich is expected to be officially named the head strength and conditioning coach at Texas Tech. He's coming over from Memphis, but he's been around some other Power Five programs. I think Texas A&M had him for a while as well.
Sure going to miss Coach Riley, but best of luck to Rich. You know, obviously that's what you want is someone to come in and take over. And Adams, to touch on what you said earlier about not rushing to hire, Adams just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to rush about anything if he doesn't have to.
Except on defense, apparently.
Oh yeah, no. It's kind of interesting. It's he has a sense of urgency, and he probably has a sense of discipline. Definitely. Oh, we should mention this quickly before we move on to baseball. There was a great interview with Jay Crowder that was floating around Twitter. Maybe if I can dig up the link, I'll add it to our show notes. But someone asked him. I think it was someone with Red Raider Sports or somebody.
So. It was Ben Golan.
Yeah, it was a post-game interview, and randomly asked him about Coach Adams and any thoughts from him getting the job at Tech. And
it just makes me wonder how Red Raider Sports got somebody into the post-game press conference to ask him. But
yeah, I have no idea how that happened, but props. It did.
Yeah.
And so took advantage. Off the cuff, after he's played a pro game, he gets asked this question about Coach Adams, and he's able to talk about him for over 2 minutes and how much he meant to him, and that he gave him a good chance and was, you know, really happy for him. And he even said something like, I figured it would have come a lot sooner than this. I'm surprised that someone hasn't given him this chance until now. And then one of the things I was going to mention was just, they asked about a story. It was kind of a cringy way to ask the question, but the question got asked about a Coach Adams story, and Crowder was able to remember one where he had not been given a lot of effort on defense in practice, and Coach Adams made him do wall squats with two plates of 45 sitting on his lap. Oh, and that was a way that kind of woke him up. And he said, you know, he had considered quitting after that happened, but Adams was able to explain to him why that was important for that to happen. And, for him to take defense seriously and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of, that was something he remembered from Coach Adams. So, just because he may not be yelling and screaming as much as some coaches we might see or have gotten used to, that doesn't mean he's not going to, coach these players a little harder when they need it.
Right.
But anyway, that's a great thing to look at, because I just can't imagine someone asking me about a boss I had 8 years ago, randomly with a camera in my face, and I'm supposed to just come up with a story. And anyway, it was, he did a really nice job.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk a little bit of baseball.
Do it.
Left field, well struck. Desloney picks it up on a bounce. He's racing for second. Throw! Out in second! Young lifts it to right field, looking for a second home run, and he's got it into his own bullpen.
Reps and some time because all the tools are there.
Wow, this one launched deep left off the bat of Warren and into the bleachers. There he goes, and the pitch is driven high and deep to right. Kerstad to the wall.
All right, so our Red Raiders return home from a weekend series in West Virginia. They are now 26-8, 7-5 on the season. Rankings update, consensus top 10 across all the board here, D1 baseball. And no, just D1 baseball has them the highest at 5. Then the National College Baseball Writers Association and the AP Baseball Coaches Poll have them at 6. And then Collegiate Baseball and Baseball America have them at number 10. RPI drops one spot to 15 after taking 2 of 3 from the Mountaineers. I don't know if you watched any of the games this weekend, Michael. The pitching, especially the starting pitching, was outstanding. Mason Montgomery, yes, for his efforts on Sunday, named Big 12 Pitcher of the Week and the National College Baseball Hall of Fame National Pitcher of the Week. Patrick Monteverdi pitched on Friday as your Friday night opener, and he was named Big 12 Newcomer of the Week. Those two combined for 2-0, that they won both their games on the weekend, gave up 4 hits out of 45 plate appearances, good for a 0.89 batting average in their 13 and two thirds innings pitched, gave up only 4 hits, 1 run, struck out 19, and walked 4. Monteverdi had 7 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks. Montgomery, 6 2/3, also 2 hits. He gave it the 1 run, although
that was one of those weird rules, wasn't it?
Yeah, so
that was on Sunday with the, yeah, go ahead. I know what you're going to.
So the first hit that, well, the hit here that ended up being the guy that scored was a pop fly that fell between Stillwell at first and Jace Young at second. Both were calling for it, then both backed off and the ball dropped. I mean, in most everybody's minds, you consider that would be an error because that was a play that should have been made under normal effort. But it's one of those things where, like, if it doesn't touch the defender, the guy, you know, on the field, like, not technically an error. I don't know. It ended up being considered a hit. And then a couple batters later, smoked one down the right field line, got over the head of Easton Morrell into the wall. And then that run comes around to score. But Montgomery only walks 1, strikes out 12. He had struck out he struck out 5 batters in his first 6 batters faced. So in his first 2 innings, he had 5 strikeouts and no hits.
No wonder those 2 innings got, because I didn't watch the first 2 innings. I missed some of that. And it
happened really quickly.
Yes. I think I turned it on. We were in the 3rd or 4th. I'm like, good gosh, what happened?
And then Cal Conley, National College Baseball Hall of Fame, Nationals Shortstop of the Week. So
a couple of National Baseball Hall of Fame honors this week.
Yeah. You're catching their eye. Injury update. I think we all were happy to see Drew Baker back in the lineup. It looks like his leg muscle whatever it was, hamstring or quad, was a little bit better. He stole a base. There was one play. I think it was Friday night, actually. There was like a line, kind of went like one of those in-between line drive pop flies, hit out to left field, and there was a little bit of a wind, and he started back first and then had to stop and try to like lunge forward to catch it, and it looked really awkward, and I was like, oh no, his legs. He just popped up laughing about it. I was like, oh, he's fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, that makes your heart skip a beat.
Yeah, you're like, no, you just got back. But we did see, or we did hear Dylan Noisy going to be out for some extended time. He maybe the rest of the season.
Yeah.
With a fractured vertebrae in his back. And then Kurt Wilson ended up breaking a bone in his hand or thumb and will be out until Big 12 tournament regional time, like 6 to 8 weeks, which is unfortunate because he was doing really well too. So,
well, I guess I'll be rooting for a deep run in the Big 12 tournament this year just to get Wilson in there and get him some playing time before any sort of postseason play.
And then really quickly, I know we just kind of talked about it, but, Wednesday is actually the day after we recorded. You defeated SFA 7-5. That game on Friday night at West Virginia, 7-2, behind those seven innings from Patrick Monteverde. He gets his sixth win of the season. You get the scoring started off. I like seeing Braxton Fulford up in the batting order. He's been batting second lately, which is pretty cool. And Easton Morrell's been doing really well as a leadoff hitter. Fulford tripled in the first to score Morrell. And then Jace Young doubled. Now, while Jace Young was doing his own thing at the plate this weekend, didn't record a home run, and is still tied for first in the country in home runs.
Oh my gosh.
Now that they're, you know, he's now sharing that with like two other guys. Braxton Fulford did hit a home run on Friday. Fulford went 3 of 4 on the night with 4 RBIs, which you don't see a lot of RBIs from your second spot. Your two hole hitter. You also don't usually see a catcher there.
Yeah.
But Jace Young Friday night went 1 for 5. Cole Stillwell 1 for 4. Drew Baker 0 for 4. You know, you ended up hitting, you got 9 hits on the night. It was really strange though. You had a lot of, I guess it was on Saturday. You had a lot of, your batters get on base via the hit by pitch.
Yeah. Saturday was really bad. I think there were six batters on Saturday that made it on base.
Yeah. You had Easton Morrell had one, Braxton Fulford had one, Cal Conley had one, Cody Masters had two, Dylan Carter had one. So you had five guys get on base via the hit by pitch. Only recorded.
But despite all that, just really was unable to bring them home.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stranded base runners on Saturday.
You end up leaving 12 runners on base on Saturday. Oof. Which is okay. So you had 6 hits, 7 walks, and you left 12 on base. You were something like, I don't have it in front of me. Like you were really bad, batting with runners in scoring position. The game ends on a walk-off. Really, really interesting defensive move. I don't know if you saw the end of that game, Michael, but
I didn't. I saw the middle of it and I thought, oh, Tex, they're going to do okay. And then, no, they didn't.
Yeah. Well, so West Virginia started the scoring off, got to a 3-0 lead. Texas Tech got it to 2-3, 3-2, whatever. Then West Virginia scored one more. And then Texas Tech takes the lead on a bases loaded walk in the 6th, 5-4. Mm-hmm. West Virginia ties it in the 8th, and then they get the bases loaded in the 9th with nobody out. And then Tadlock, so he brings in, I think it was Drew Baker. He brought him in as like an extra infielder and then put Andrew Devine in the outfield. So you had two defensive substitutions in the outfield. where you played Devine, because really at that point, anything in the outfield was going to be the ball game anyways, with the bases loaded. But he had three infielders basically on the edge of the grass, like the front edge of the dirt, on the left side. So you had like shortstop Dylan Baker and Parker Kelly. And then you mm-hmm. had on the right side, Stillwell and Jace Young. And like, you get exactly what you want. Ryan Sublett gets the Kleska to hit a ground ball to Stillwell. And he comes up firing and throws the ball to Fulford, who's covering the plate. But I can't remember if it was a throw or if like Fulford just like lost his mind for a second, came off of the bag, off the base.
Oh no.
And then the run scores and that's the game. But like you had the defensive alignment actually worked out well where you were playing with essentially seven infielders and you got the guy to ground out to one of your infielders, you know. Now it was going to be a long shot to do that or record three outs, but you know, it happens. It was a weird day with all of the hit by pitches and walks. Sunday though, you came back. Mason Montgomery set the tone early. Like I said, you got up to a pretty big lead, and you ended up winning the game 10-1. You didn't get the run rule because you only had a 9-run lead going into the seventh. Which at that point was like,
too bad.
I know. I was like, okay, well, if you're not going to run rule, might as well now just like pour a bunch on. But you didn't end up scoring anything extra after that. 10-1. You scored one in the first, one in the fourth, two in the fifth, six in the sixth. You really, you know, put the game away there. You were just, like I said, one run short of the run rule and then ended up just holding it out. You did that 10 runs on 14 hits, only gave up two hits on the day on Sunday to win that game 10-1 to come home. Now 7-5 in Big 12 play. And you were going to be ready to go up to Amarillo to play Oklahoma today, Tuesday night. That game got postponed because of weather. So now you're getting ready to host Baylor.
So, yeah, I think I should mention I've read a good recap of the series on RedRaiderDugout.com. Randy Rosetta had a post about the WVU. WVU, why do I call them that? The West Virginia series. Anyway, go check them out, RedRaiderDugout.com. Also listen to their podcast, Dinger Derby, as we've plugged several times. But Conley, in game three, 4-for-5 with two home runs, one coming from each side of the plate.
Dude, that was something else. Like that was
that is incredible.
Yeah. So like Michael Zan, Conley's obviously a switch hitter. But hit home runs, I think, into both bullpens from both sides of the plate. You said 4-for-5. He scored three runs himself, knocked in four runs, was just left on once.
Yeah, on the weekend, and if, this is why he was getting that national honor on the weekend, 6-for-12. So he batted 500 on the weekend, five runs, two home runs, of course. And five RBIs.
Trying to put up those Jace Young numbers.
Yeah. Really, really great weekend from Conley.
So before we roll into the Baylor preview, guys, I need to let you know it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. Like we said, it's just in a month. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
Folks, I'm here to tell you that your outdoor experiences could be better, clearly better. Canon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japanese optics, Canon's lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses and are nearly impossible to scratch. with frames handcrafted in Italy. K&N sunglasses elevate your experiences outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code KananCast15 at Kanan.com to receive 15% off on your first pair. That's KananCast15, KanonCast15, Kanan. Clearly better.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Like I said, you had a game versus Oklahoma postponed and then rescheduled to May 4th tonight due to weather up in Amarillo. That would have been a non-conference game and a neutral site. Kind of interesting. I did see that Baylor has also played Oklahoma in a non-conference game. They played in Round Rock, which is funny because they had to go past Waco to do it.
Sure.
Anyways, you're hosting Baylor, the Bears, who are 24-12, 5-7 in the Big 12. I was going through the schedule trying to see, you know, who have they played. So, like, do these stats line up? Like, have they played all the really tough teams in the conference? Have they played the bottom teams? They played a little bit of everybody. Interesting enough, no, they lost a series to start the season against UTRGV. Just throwing that out there for a little jab at the Bears. They lost the series to Texas. They were swept by TCU. They won the series versus West Virginia, and they won the series versus Kansas. And then following the Baylor series, quick look ahead to next week, you will host New Mexico on Tuesday, the 27th. But like I said, in the comparison of the two teams, Texas Tech and Baylor, there's so much that is similar, especially on defense. But Baylor leads the conference actually in batting average. They are 10 points ahead of you. They're good. They're obviously first. You're at fifth and just 10 points behind them. You did give up your first spot in on-base percentage. You're now second, but you're first in slugging to Baylor's fourth in on-base and sixth in slugging. You hit more doubles, way more home runs, tied for triples. You score about a run and a half more per game than does Baylor. You walk a ton more than Baylor does. Now they don't strike out. You are last in the conference in strikeouts.
Yeah.
Which is a little worrisome, but everything else is like, well, everything else is really good. So
they don't strike out. They don't steal bases.
Yeah. And they don't steal bases. Whereas, you know, Texas Tech is good for fifth in the conference, right there in the middle. Defensively, Texas Tech and Baylor are 2-3. Baylor gets the nod there in terms of team ERA. Batting average, Texas Tech is second. Baylor is third. Hits given up, Texas Tech is first. Baylor's fourth. Runs allowed, you have allowed 152 runs. Baylor's given 156 runs. They get a slight nod here because they've played a couple more games than you have. Mm-hmm. So their runs per game is 4.3, whereas yours is 4.5. You don't walk as many batters as they do, barely. I had to extended the decimal point out there to 3.99 because it would have rounded up to four, and they give up 4.1 walks. You do strike out opposing batters about 1.5 batters more per game. You give up fewer home runs, and they have 1/1000th of a point better in their fielding percentage, better than you.
This really reminds me a lot of the TCU series. Quite the same categories, but a dang good looking matchup just on paper based off of what we can see here.
Yeah, for sure.
Aside from TCU being the best at stealing bases and Baylor being the worst, that might be the biggest stick out to me.
Yeah, ironically, they do get guys on base. I mean, if you look at their average, they're, you know, leading the conference at almost 300. Update on some interesting stats from the team. Monteverde is moved up in the Big 12 standings in terms of ERA. He's now sixth at just over two. He's at 2.24. His whip dropped a little bit to 0.88. Opponents' batting average dipped a little bit after this weekend as well, as you would expect, at 0.199. He's thrown 52 innings on the year, gives up. His walks per nine is going up a little bit. He's at 1.6. Strikeouts is up to 10.2 per nine. And like I said, he's now 6-1 on the season. As a team, you're tied for eighth in the country in runs scored. You moved up in walks earned. You're now fourth, or you're back to fourth. You're eighth in on base percentage. Defensively, you're tied for seventh in double plays turned. So that combination of Conley and Young working well up the middle. Tied for third in the country in home runs. Jace Young tied for first with 15. And that's, like I said, still after not hitting one all weekend against West Virginia.
Not too bad. Not too bad to maintain your spot after just having a pedestrian weekend in Morgantown.
Yeah, and we kind of figured, like, he might cool off, but two, like, he might not see as many good pitches to hit.
Oh, sure.
Having Conley hit behind him is certainly helping, though, because, like, you can't pitch around Young.
Conley.
And then have, Conley back there who can hit it out just like he can. But baseball this weekend, looking forward to what should be a really good series this weekend, hosting the Bears.
Yep. The one game I went to in 2019 ended on a walk-off single. That that I think it was the Saturday night game. Tech ended it on a walk-off single. It was a really exciting ending to that game. So looking forward to another good matchup between these two.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to talk about the football spring game, Michael. So you ready?
I'm ready to hear it.
All right, let's get there.
Get to the right sideline, breaks a tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35, 40. He's the midfield, the 45, 40. He may go. 25, 10, touchdown, Red Raiders.
Davis Webb, the freshman, screen.
Shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He's the Harrison Red Raider. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
You know, there's something for everybody in that Crabtree call from Brian Jensen, John Harris, and our main man, Sonny Cumbie.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. My favorite was just John Harris. Oh. I mean, I don't know what I would have said. I don't like in that instance, like if I was in the call and especially being like the color analyst, or whatever, but like.
We would all turn into Brick Tamlin. It'd just be loud noises, just nonstop.
Clapping in the background, like the obnoxious big clap. All right, so you know what I didn't do this weekend, Michael? Obnoxious big clap at the spring game.
Because it wasn't too bad. You could have led it. You could have led the obnoxious big clap.
And going into it, I was ticked off, peeved, if you will.
Oh.
About the spring game not being on TV.
Yes.
Sitting there in person, I realized why they didn't.
Oh, I figured. Yes, I think we cracked that code before y'all even went, because you and Keith went.
I met up with Keith at the game, the stadium.
Yeah,
and his family. But so the first half was the scrimmage, was the spring game. And the second half, air quotes here, was a few minutes, like literally just a few minutes of some 7-on-7 plays. I wouldn't even call them drills. There's a couple of plays, and then 1-on-1 drills, which. The 7-on-7 would have been better to broadcast. 1-on-1, not really. The second half just felt like you were watching practice. The problem with that part of it, though.
We're talking about practice?
They had Rico Jeffers on a handheld mic just screaming like what was going on. Like it was like on-field commentary as it was happening. But it was also windy. So it was like, and the dude's screaming into it. Like you heard nothing. It was, really sorry about your ears just then. It was obnoxious. Like that I get nothing from this. And they were running like especially in the 1-on-1 section, a bunch of guys out there that like, you don't know who they are. They're wearing numbers, like receivers wearing numbers in the 40s. Not on the roster. It's like, cool. I don't know what I'm looking at. Glad I wasted my time sitting out here in the freezing cold to watch a receiver who's wearing number 42, who's not on the roster, not catch a deep ball. Yeah, it was like a tight end or something. I don't know, man. I don't know. It was weird. The thing I was most interested to see, because I wasn't going to see it unless I was there or as well as just paying attention to Twitter, is the quarterbacks and the order they played and then how they looked. So you probably have seen it by now. Henry Columbia came out first. But he got only one series, and then Tyler Shuck had three in a row. So when Columbia, Shuck, Columbia. And then it was turned over to Donovan Smith and Baron Morton.
Oh, I like this. I like the Donovan Smith keys. Tossing the keys to Smith. That's not bad.
Well, speaking of tossing things to Smith, he had a pass batted up in the air where he himself caught it. So he caught his own pass.
Hands team.
And he was able, I mean, they weren't allowing anybody to touch the quarterbacks, but he was able to get around the edge running, like as it, like as he caught the ball and ran around the offensive line. He didn't look like he was trying really hard, but at 6'4", the dude can move. He's a big kid. Like he's like 6'4", 6'5", 225, 230.
Oh, I don't hate this at all.
He's a big kid. Shuck is also pretty tall. He's not as stout as Smith is. And I'm not saying Smith is like heavy. Like he's solid. He's grown into his body. Definitely looks different than Henry Columbia or Baron Morton. Columbia and Smith were the only quarterbacks to lead scoring drives. There may have been a drive that ended on a field goal, but it was a really, really long field goal attempt. And I think because of that, Wells had both of his field goal kickers attempt the field goal. So they ran it back to back and both of them made it.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Which I think they were like 45-yard field goals into the wind.
Heck yeah. We'll take that.
Taking advantage of the guy in front of him being out, JJ Sparkman looked really good. This is a wide receiver that would play behind Eric Ezukanma, who we later found out was held out because he broke his arm on Thursday. So in the second half, I sat next to Rob Bro, and Bro said apparently it was so bad that they had to stop practice.
Oh my gosh.
So
we took a collective moment of silence there, totally unplanned, because I was just thinking about how bad it must have been to stop a football practice.
Yeah. I mean, that's
rough, man.
It's not good.
I hope he comes back and just functions normally as a human, and two is hopefully able to play a little bit more at Texas Tech this fall.
So the good thing, like, not that you would wish any kind of injury on anybody, a broken bone heals fairly quickly, especially when you're looking at like off season, 6 to 8 weeks, even if you have to have surgery, pins, on that kind of stuff. The break is typically stronger after it's healed than it was previously, the bone there. And because it wasn't muscular or tendon damage, like,
or joint, or
yeah. And the joint, like, it's one of those things for a wide receiver. As long as it doesn't turn into some kind of mental kind of block there, shouldn't impact his game. What's going to impact is missing out on the extra practice and conditioning time over the summer. But you can run with a cast. I mean, I don't know how bad it was, but in a few weeks when he's feeling better, I'm sure it doesn't feel great.
Gosh, no.
But Sir Roderick Thompson, we heard was held out. Xavier White was also held out. And then in the 7-on-7 or it was the 1-on-1 period, I can't remember. It was a deep pass over the middle to Travis Kuntz, tight end. He caught it in the end zone, but like it looked like he may have fallen on top of the ball and had the wind knocked out of him. It looked pretty innocent enough, but like he laid on the turf for several minutes.
Are you thinking, okay, if it's not just wind knocked out of him, what, like possible ribs? If there's something lingering beyond just that. Oh man. Okay. Man, so that really is breaking.
Yeah, it was.
I haven't seen that anywhere but from you, my friend.
Jadarius Townsend, Chad, as I want to call him, Chad Townsend, looked pretty good from the running back. There was a couple of the one-on-one drills, and I told you I didn't get much out of it, but there was one. It was running back versus linebacker in, like, Townsend was running a route. He stuck his foot in the turf and did a hard 90-degree turn. And the linebacker basically just fell over. Oh, man. So there's a picture. I don't know if you saw it or if anybody saw it on Twitter, where Townsend's running up the sideline carrying the ball and like the entire team is behind him. It's because like as soon as that happened, the rest of the offense that was not on the field participating in the one-on-one drill was like storming after him because it was such a good move. And the other thing I noticed or want to point out, I don't know if it was just a factor of just the format of the spring game or just the defense looking a little bit better. I didn't see any like weird broken tackles or people diving at feet. But also because it's a scrimmage against yourself, you know, say your offensive players, your skill position didn't break any tackles or didn't do anything like that. But defense looked good. Don't don't pay any attention to the score of the spring game, because I think offense won like 38-27 or something. It definitely points favored any kind of offensive movement of the ball. Like, oh, you got a first down? Here's 10 points. It wasn't that bad, but basically. Especially since the game, the spring game started off with a defensive turnover. Now,
oh, that's right, because it was a fan got to pick the first play of the game and picked something kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if like all of her options were trick plays, but it was a throwback back to Columbia, and the throwback was intercepted by defensive linemen. It was not good. Now, I mean, I doubt that the defense knows the play name, but like, she announced it over the PA system to the entire stadium. I want to run this play. And mm-hmm. Wells said, which one? This one here, and said it again. I can't remember. It was like Gopher or something.
That's what I remember seeing was Gopher, but I'm not sure if that's right. If we both thought it, that's got to be it. So,
I mean, you can say the defense knew what was coming because they announced the play. I don't know if they would have known the offensive playbook enough to be like, oh yeah, that's that throwback back to the quarterback. Interior yeah. defensive lineman, watch out for it.
Yeah, why don't you run through and see what you could do about that?
But otherwise, you learn nothing. It wasn't like, I mean, it was a really bland spring game practice at that. Didn't leave feeling like I saw what I wanted to see. Although I went in knowing that I wasn't going to see anything. So like I left yeah. even more disappointed because it was not what I wanted to see, but that's that. Spring football is over. Now it's summer conditioning, getting ready for fall camp in August.
I just can't believe we're getting closer to another season, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. I'm not ready for it yet.
Yeah. Well, until then, you want to talk about what we learned?
Yes, I do.
Let's get it.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right. So Michael's got the bulk of the what we learned topics here. So I'm going to go first and get out of the way. My little update for Going Yard, I'm still trying to get the seedlings for the garden ready to go and then clearing
yeah.
the space.
Yeah.
I can't figure, like, I know that if the seedlings get real long under, like, the stem gets really long underneath the first couple of leaves, they're not getting enough light, but obviously I'm not going to put them outside with the weather we've had with the really high winds and it's been cold. My little incubator is still chugging along, but like even then some of those are like, I don't know, man, it's not really working out how I hoped it to. And then Little League, when we played Thursday and we played tonight, and my little Dodgers, okay, Bryson DeChambeau, Dodgers went 2-0 over that time.
Oh, they won tonight. I'm just learning this firsthand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I got on, I was not like the best of moods. And I will confess, it's how the game ended that really irked me.
I knew they won this weekend. Like, what, pretty handily? 9-3 or something? Or what was it?
9-2, yeah.
9-2.
Going into the final inning, we were up 11-0 tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
11-0.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where like the team we were playing was just bad enough that like I knew after just the first few minutes, like we should win this game. Their coaches seemed disinterested in the game. Like I from my third base spot when we were on offense, their coaches were just BSing about anything else besides the game happening in front of them.
Oh man.
So like I was kind of disinterested in the game because like, well, they're not interested. I'm not really interested. And it was, like I said, it was not really competitive, but then we ended up we gave up 4 runs in the last inning. 2 of them came on a home run, not on a home run, but the batter ended up scoring. He should have been out at first. Really easy ground ball hit to first base. Our pitcher comes up firing to first. Misses him. Grayson is in right field. We've been working on backing up the throws. I'm telling him, like, if the play's at first, I want you to come around and be in this one specific spot where you're far enough away from first base. So if the ball gets away, You can see it. You'll have time to react, pick it up, limit the damage. And what does he do? The play's coming at first. He's running at first base. Ball gets past the first baseman and goes into right field. Dude scores. It's like, oh my gosh. It was a comedy of errors where like the kids were more interested in how much time was left on the clock and how big of a lead we had. And tonight's game and on Thursday night's game, I was like, don't worry about the score. Let's finish the game. But they were just so distracted by everything else. So both games we gave up, I think a combined 6 runs in our last defensive stand. And I'm like, that's not okay, because they obviously weren't doing this in the first 5 innings of both games.
Yeah.
It's only happening because you're not paying attention. You're not doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So
like you said, you're looking at the scoreboard thinking, hey, this is over. We can just kind of relax the last inning.
Yeah, it was 11-0. And then like they ended up scoring 4 runs and the other team scored 2 or 3. It was like, stop.
Come on, guys.
I mean, that
keep
run
your foot on their throats.
That run differential. Yeah, basically. That run differential is going to help seeding at the end of, when we have a bunch of teams tied for whatever it's going to be. So you know how I said we've played 3 of the top 4 teams in the league? We will play the fourth top team in the league on Saturday.
Ooh, big game coming up.
Except they're like the second best team in the rankings right now. Not confident at all. However, once we get past them, we'll be 4-4, assuming we lose on Saturday. And we will have 4 or 5 games left. We should be able to win the rest of our schedule.
Wow, what a run that would be. Especially after the year you had last year.
Yeah, last year we went 4-7. Right now, we've already tied the number of wins. We're at 4-3 right now.
Yeah. Well, I think you've come a long way, Coach.
Well, that's not something else I'm talking about, but I'll save it for later. So Michael has a going yard update that I can't wait to hear.
I have a going up yard update. Spencer, I'm officially back in the lawn care business here at 23 Personnel North.
Did you fire your landscaping crew?
No, he fired me.
Oh no. Is it because you wanted to go every other week?
I have no idea. I got an email 2 weeks ago saying that he was starting up his regular lawn care stuff. You know, normal days, everything will be just like it was. And then last week on Monday, they didn't come. And I thought, well, that's odd. But I thought, well, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, because sure, it could be scalped right now and maybe a little edged, but it's fine. It's not like it's going crazy on me. And then later last week, he sent an email saying that he was letting me go. And I don't know if it was just me or if it was, I don't think it was just me. I think it was mainly lawn care. He was focusing on different aspects of the business, irrigation and the backflow testing. So anyway, so within the last 2 weeks, he apparently made a big life decision and then passed me on to another company who would be willing to take me on. And I spoke with them, and you know, I'd already kind of had in the back of my mind, things are different now than they were the last 2 years. I was working quite a bit on weekends and stuff, and I'm not as much now. Things have slowed down some more. So I was kind of half thinking of trying to do it again myself anyway. And so now this basically opened the door completely for that. So I told the guy that said, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to do it myself. And so yesterday I edged for the first time in 2 years myself, and my arms are still kind of sore. And it took me almost longer to start the weed eater edger than it did to actually do the damn edging.
I was going to ask you, after having sat for 2 years, how long did it take you to get it started?
It was a solid 30 minutes of me just ripping on it until I would like was out of breath. And then I would set it down and kind of walk around and look busy. And then I'd come back and rip on it some more, and I couldn't get anywhere with it. The lawnmower shouldn't be too bad, because randomly a weekend or two ago, it's almost like I knew this was coming. My little girl and I were out in the garage just pilling around, tearing down cardboard boxes or whatever. And I had been wanting to start my lawnmower just because I haven't started it in forever either. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to start it. And so I took it out to the driveway, and I had my little girl with me, and I was like, all right, cover your ears. And 20 minutes later,
you got
her covering her ears finally paid off. So at least I know they both start and they both run. But yes, I am back into the lawn business. I'm already thinking about, you know, what type of weed and feed I need to put down. It's just all, it's all happening again. And I've got to come up with a better method. I think I just want to edge once every 2 weeks. And then I think I may want to mow every week just to keep that down. We'll see. I'm trying to change it up. So that's my big update.
Proud of you. I don't edge every time I mow either.
Yeah. I don't think, well, especially when you mow at least once every week, sometimes twice, once it's really going.
I should be mowing twice a week now. This little cold snap the past few weeks. Now, the lawn has gotten long. It needs to be cut. But with the being cold and then the rain, it's been about a week since I've cut it. But yeah, I don't edge and weed eat every time I cut because I should be out there twice a week.
On top of all this, the hedges in front of our window are dead.
Oh no.
The frost that the winter polar vortex eclipse, the whatever minus it was. 10
that came through.
Equinox. It just completely destroyed them. Everyone on our block has dead shrubs. And so I've got to figure out how to get those out without destroying the drip irrigation in the process. And anyway, it's all fun. It's all fun. It's good. It's great, Spencer. I'm happy. I'm happy to be back mowing again, I think.
So you also teased about a little brisket experiment you had going on.
I did. Okay. I'm going to go into these. We didn't go too long. So this may be, buckle up people. The what we learned may be a little bit of a stretch. I did talk quite a bit on the last episode about what I learned from Evie Mays when I did their barbecue class, their brisket, mainly focused on brisket. And the spring game was scheduled well after I'd already scheduled to smoke a brisket on the same day. And so that's why I was not in attendance. I was busy at the house smoking a brisket.
You had planned to be busy. In actuality, the brisket came off and you were letting it rest during the time of the spring game, but you were also committed to not going to the spring game, which I don't blame you.
Then you have to slice it. I mean, there was a lot going on. The brisket came off. I put it on at midnight because I have a horrible track record of briskets taking just incredibly long amount of time. And so I put it on at midnight thinking it might be done by noon or two. Yeah, it was done at 10 a.m. That morning. And it was right at a 10. After I'd trimmed it, it was right at 10 pounds. But the thing I felt the most confident about with this was how much I trimmed off of it, because it seemed like a crazy amount to me. But after going to that class, they estimated Arnest trimmed one, and he trimmed 35% of the weight off of it. And I trimmed 34.2. So I felt really good about at least the numbers, right? The metrics added up. The brisket itself, I would give it like a 7 out of 10. I was not super impressed with it. And I don't think it's obviously nothing to do with the class. I think there was something I missed there. One of the things that they did in the class was he sprays it with apple cider vinegar when he wraps it. Mm-hmm. I did not do that because it was 5 a.m. in the morning when I wrapped it, and I probably wasn't thinking quite clearly.
You just ready to get back to bed.
Yeah, and my wireless thermometer had given out the night before. It just kept measuring the grill temp. Just kept measuring like 230, 245. And I'm like, what the heck is happening? So I just had to set an alarm for 5 a.m. and hope for the best and go check it then. But I think that was part of the downfall. And then the other downfall was I used Traeger's pellet blend. This was something that didn't dawn on me. And I hadn't told you this or any of the guys in Slack. Usually when I do a brisket, because I've had issues getting a good smokiness flavor, I buy 100% post oak pellets that they sell at Outdoor Chef, not a sponsor, but if you know someone, let us know. Outdoor Chef has different bags of 100% mesquite or hickory or post oak. If you're going for something more than a blend of random woods, then that's what you get. 100% I had some of that left.
100% mesquite would be a little overpowering. Go on.
I know. I bought that the first time I went, and I've had this smoker. because I grew up in around Abilene, and that was, you know, that's, people use Mesquite a lot.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I bought that. That was one of the first bags I bought, was 100% Mesquite, thinking, oh, this is what I need. And I've had the smoker for over 4 years, and I still have half a bag left.
Mm, yeah.
And that was my downfall, was I mistakenly thought that half a bag, because they look the exact same, was post oak. And so 11 p.m. at night, when I'm loading my pellet smoker, I realize that was in fact Mesquite. And I'm like, I am not using Mesquite on this, and I don't have post oak, so I'll just have to use the Traeger blend. But I think that made it much milder. I think that did not help with the flavor. So next time, definitely going to spray with apple cider vinegar. I think that was costly on my end. And then I will use post oak pellets, but it was still edible. I mean, it just wasn't, it wasn't my best. I've probably made it. Yeah. I don't even know if it'd be top five. It was okay. It was fine. But
yeah, you've got me wanting to try
work to do.
Try a brisket on my smoker again sometime soon. And there was an experiment where I saw they're trying to recreate what Aaron Franklin does down at Franklin Barbecue, where they will not soak the butcher paper they wrap the brisket in, but they will apply rendered beef tallow to the paper. Mm-hmm. So I want to try that.
I know, and I may go back to doing that if I have trouble again this next time, because I applied it before to the brisket and then used that kind of like a binder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a binder, I guess that's more of a sausage term, but that's what I would use to...
Well, to get the seasoning to stick on the surface.
Yeah, yeah. So I would do that before I even put it on the smoker. I may even consider not wrapping it sometime just to see what that does, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like I think the last one or two I did, I felt really good about. And then this one, I feel like I took a step back. So it's just a constant battle, guys. Even when you have a you know, quote unquote, foolproof pellet smoker, that's supposed to keep things normal temp.
The weather overnight into Saturday morning could have also been a contributing factor, because it was miserable.
Yeah. It got
basically
down into the
Wednesday
low
through Sunday the past week.
Yeah. It got into the 30s, Saturday or Friday night. That's true. So I had two other things I wanted to go through quickly. I promise I'll be quick.
Okay.
Johnny G's salsa.
Never heard of it. Go on.
He's a guy who makes salsa out of his house here in Lubbock. If you look him up on Facebook, you message him, he'll reserve a jar of salsa for you. He makes three or four different kinds. I got the Rojo when I went, which is their medium, and their medium packs some heat, which I enjoy. And let me tell you, my brisket and egg tacos tasted so much better with some Johnny G's salsa on them. So anyway, if you're in Lubbock and you want to spend a little more on a good jar of salsa that is made really well, and he roasts the vegetables himself, he does all this stuff himself out of his house, he's give Johnny G a shot.
And his Facebook is facebook.com/salsa slinger.
Salsa Slinger. I think that's his, I should have looked this up, but I think Salsa Slinger is his handle on Instagram.
Nice.
Then the other thing I wanted to mention is everyone who talked about watching Ted Lasso and how great it was and stuff. Yeah, you guys were all right. Every single one of you were right. You were correct. I burned my Apple TV Plus free trial this week. Watched Greyhound. Shout out to Dr. Rick and all the other dads interested in naval warfare. Great flick. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But Ted Lasso was really worth the wait. And then I'm really excited that there's a second season coming out this July. They just debuted a trailer today, this Tuesday. And I will pay the $4.99 to watch season two once it's available.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming out in July.
Yeah. But anyway, Ted Lasso's he's impossibly nice. He's impossibly just caring and wholesome. And so it makes it impossible for people not to like him or to listen to him or to respond to him. It's just an interesting dynamic to see this guy on TV. And, you know, the stuff he goes through with his personal life and his players, it gets really serious at times and just kind of takes you by surprise. But gosh, knowing how many people gloat about it, I'm still glowing about it. I really enjoyed the show. So everybody who said how great it was, you're all right.
I'll have to check it out.
Good job by you guys.
Yeah. Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
All right. So with that, that'll do it for us on the 23 Personnel Podcast. We'll be back next week to review the Baylor baseball series and give any kind of basketball updates there may be. So for Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.